Vă rog, deschideți Sfânta Scriptură la Galateni, sau so Galatians 4, verse 19. I'm only gonna read one verse. It says the following: My little children, from whom I labor in birth again until Christ is formed in you. Copilașii mei, pentru care iarăși simt durerile nașterii până ce va lua Hristos chip în voi. So, the message that I want to come in front of the Emmanuel Church tonight, it's pretty much based on a meditation that I had at youth a few weeks ago, and I felt this need to make it more than just a simple meditation and make it a sermon. And tonight I'm just gonna go over a few things that I mentioned there, and I'm gonna come up with a message that I hope is gonna build our church. So again, my little children, for whom I labor in birth again until Christ is formed in you. As many of you guys know by now, my wife Olivia and I were expecting our first baby, and we are very, very, very happy. As a matter of fact, we've been to the doctor just 2 weeks ago, and we've been told that it's going to be a boy. And I'm really, really happy. I hope it's not going to change in the meantime, but yeah, I'm really happy, and Olivia's really happy, and we are so blessed and so grateful for this blessing that God decided to pour upon our family. And you know, I was thinking, as a couple, when you find out that you will have a baby, a lot of things are changing. You know, the news that you will have a baby, it ignites you. It's a spark. It makes your relationship get better, believe it or not. But there's a lot of things that change, especially for a woman. There's a lot of things that change, and I'm talking about emotional changes. I'm talking about physical changes, right? I mean, you have to keep that baby in your womb for 9 months, and then at the end, you're going through labor, and it's so painful. And you know, I just heard that us as men, we would never be able to go through the pain that a woman goes when she's in labor. Us as people, as adults, we would never be able to go through a pain that a baby feels when the teeth are growing. And you're going as a woman, you're going as a family through that pain. You go through those 9 months of carrying a baby inside of you, and you're going through that pain of the labor. And then suddenly everything changes when you see that beautiful bundle of joy. You see that beautiful baby that God offered you. And you forget about the pain, you forget about the struggle, you forget about the 9 months, and all you can think is that baby, that joy that God blessed you with. I have a few friends that came to me when they heard that we will have a baby, and they said, well, Abel is going to be very hard. In the first 3-4 months, it's going to be very, very hard. Your wife is going to have to wake up every 3 months, and it's going to be tough. But all of them said it at the end, but you know what? I cannot imagine my life without my baby boy. I cannot imagine my life without my baby girl. You know, and I'm looking at this passage, and there's some false teachers that are infiltrating between the Galatians, and Paul comes and says, you know what, I'm suffering for you guys. I'm in pain for you guys. I'm struggling, it's painful, mă doare, sunt în probleme, and I'm ready to go through these sufferings, I'm ready to go through this pain, I'm ready to sacrifice myself to see Christ formed in you. Because this is my ultimate goal, this is my desire, this is my hope, Galatians, this is my hope, Emmanuel, to be able to see Christ formed in you. To be able to see Christ formed within this youth, to be able to see Christ formed in this church, to be able to see Christ formed in your relationships, to be able to see Christ formed in our families, to be able to see Christ formed here in this church, here in this city, here in this country, see Christ formed in us. How is Christ formed in us? Well, Christ is formed in us through the power of the Holy Spirit. How is the Holy Spirit working in my life? How is the Holy Spirit working in your life? Let me tell you this, the Holy Spirit works in your life as the way the Holy Spirit worked in Jesus' life. The Bible said that the Father sent the Son in the world, the Son, Jesus Christ, through the power of the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit was there before Jesus Christ was even born. The Holy Spirit was there present when he started his ministry in the baptism. The Holy Spirit was present throughout his lucrare. The Holy Spirit was present in Gethsemane. The Holy Spirit was present at the resurrection. And the Holy Spirit was present even in the house when the disciples were praying. A lot of people are saying, well, no, the Holy Spirit was present only after. No, the Holy Spirit was present always. The Holy Spirit was present in Gethsemane. Let me tell you this. The Holy Spirit is not going to be present only when you're in fire for God. The Holy Spirit won't be present just when you're baptized with the gift. You're speaking in tongues. But the Holy Spirit will be present even in your Gethsemane. The Holy Spirit will be present even in your trial. The Holy Spirit will be present even in your struggle. As long as you remain faithful, my brother and my sister, the Holy Spirit will be present even when it hurts.
But you gotta remain faithful. I need to remain faithful. Pentru că Domnul Iisus mi-a promis și ți-a promis. Nici de când n-am să te las. Cu niciun chip n-am să te părăsesc. Am să fiu cu voi până la sfârșit. Slăvit și binecuvântat să fie El.
So, the message for tonight is called When the Holy Spirit Takes Over. When the Holy Spirit Takes Over. Când Duhul Sfânt preia cârma sau controlul. Brothers and sisters, there's three things that happen when the Holy Spirit takes over my life and your life. Well, first of all, when the Holy Spirit takes over, it awakens us. Ezekiel 37:5 says, "Thus says the Lord God to these bones, surely I will cause breath to enter into you and you shall live." Ephesians 5:14, "Awake you who sleep. Arise from dead and Christ will give you light." And verse 18 says, "It is good to be zealous in a good thing always, always." You know, we're talking about revive, and we've been talking about revive so many times, and I mentioned it and we mentioned it from this pulpit, and we said, you know what, the revive has to start with me, guys. Revive has to start with me. I can't just expect revive to start with someone else. There has to be a spark. There has to be a moment when I'm going to break the chains of evil. The revive has to start with us. The revive has to start here with me, with this church. You know, we're going to have revive, and I really believe that it will be a blessing and God will work. But a lot of times I'm here in front of you guys encouraging you guys to get into worship. And you know, I see a lot of times we're feeling us, it happened tonight and in the morning. We feel the presence of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is here. But I was thinking if the Holy Spirit will be present and I will feel this presence just once a week. If I will feel it just once a year at the Revive Conference. If I will feel the presence of the Holy Spirit just once a month, just one time with youth, just every once in a while, then I'm going to be a pretty miserable Christian. I'm going to be a pretty upset Christian. I'm going to be a pretty depressed Christian. When I feel the power of the Holy Spirit, I'm not going to let it go. When I feel the power of the Holy Spirit, I'm not going to let it go. When I once taste His power, when I once taste His greatness, when I once taste His goodness, I'm not going to let it go. I'm not just going to be mediocre. I'm not just going to lose myself in average. I'm not going to be in mediocrity because I have the power of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to hold like Jacob to his leg and I will say, I'm not going to let you go until you bless me, my Lord. Because I understand the power of the Holy Spirit that awakens me, that awakens my family, that awakens my church, that awakens my kids, that awakens my country. It's the power of the Holy Spirit.
It's the power of the Holy Spirit.
It awakens me and it makes me find my identity. You see, I remember when I was about 19 years old in Romania, I knew this girl. She was my age. We were at college, at university together, and we were working at the same company. I worked for a few weeks, and we were selling some appliances, and we were in a different city. And I mean, she was an Orthodox girl, but she would, you know, sleep with her boyfriend. She would cuss. She would, you know, she wouldn't go to church or anything like that. She wouldn't be a moral girl. She would smoke. She would drink. And I remember we were in that city. We were a group of guys. And suddenly she said, you know what? We had a break, a two-hour break. And she said, I just want to go to church. It was an Orthodox church. And she said, I just want to go and pray. Erau acolo Sfintele Moaște, o tradiție păgână. Dar fata vrea să se roage. Și eu spus, vreau să mă duc să mă rog. And we said, okay, that's fine. We're going to meet up in 2 hours. And then suddenly she comes back. And we were like, Andrea, what's going on? Why do you come back? And she's like, I can't go like this in the church. And I'm like, why? Well, I can't go with my head like this, cu capul neacoperit. No, și mă gândeam, wow. You know, the girls in Romania, you know, wouldn't really wear a batik, you know. And I was like, look at this girl, you know. But then I just realized that it's not just about what's outside. Of course it matters. But it's about what's your inside. I was thinking, she still goes and sleep with her boyfriend. She still goes and smoke. She still drinks. She's still going to have that vocabulary. When you are formed in Christ, there is that power of the Holy Spirit that works in my life. There is that power of the Holy Spirit that changes me, that transforms me. And then I don't have to put up a show. I don't have to put up a mess. I don't have to try too hard. I don't have to do too many things, because it's the power of the Holy Spirit that changes my heart, that changes my soul, that changes me inside. And then this body, whatever I have here, is just going to be a reflection. It's just going to be a mirror of who I really am. And then I'm going to talk properly, and then I'm going to behave properly, and then I'm going to act properly, and then I'm going to love properly, because it's the power of the Holy Spirit with which I'm identifying myself with and which awakens me. Puterea Duhului Sfânt care mă trezește la realitate. Doamne, trezește-ne la realitate în această seară. Amin. Second of all, when the Holy Spirit takes over, it sharpens us. Verse 19, Paul says, I labor in birth in the first part. 2 Timothy 1:6 says, therefore, I remind you to stir up the gift of God, which is in you through laying on my hands. Here, Paul is writing to Timothy. Timothy is his apprentice. He's a half Jew, half Greek. And he has some problems. Timothy is in a very tough moment of his life. He's questioning his spiritual gifts. He's questioning his ministry. He's questioning his faith. Maybe he's questioning God. And Paul says, stir up that gift into flame. That faith that persuaded in your grandma Lois. That faith that persuaded in your mother Eunice. That dwelt in your mother Eunice. That faith that you persuaded, stir up that gift into flame. I want to tell you something tonight. Maybe you're questioning your spiritual gift. Maybe you're questioning God. Maybe you're questioning a lot of things. Maybe you're questioning your ministry. Maybe you prayed for something for a long time and nothing happened. Maybe you prayed, maybe you had a prophecy and you said, God, you talked to me. God, you promised me that. God, I'm going to school and nothing happens. God, I'm studying and I still can't find a job. God, I'm ready to get married and I still can't find that girl. I can't find that boy. God, I'm praying for this, for my family, for my kids for such a long time and nothing happens. And Paul says, stir up that gift into flame. Be obedient. Don't stop. Don't quit. Keep praying. Keep going. Because God is working. But it's not my time, it's his time. Amen? Remember about Elijah? He's praying on Carmel, and the prophets of Baal were praying, and nothing happened. It didn't rain in the country for over 3 years, and then Elijah's doing something interesting. He says, there in 2 Samuel, that he's telling one of his servants to go look. But you know what Elijah does? Elijah's praying. He's with his knees down on the ground. And his servant goes, he comes back. Do you see something? No. One time, twice, three, four, five, six, seven. And the seventh time something happened. But Elijah's praying. Elijah's faithful. Elijah's obedient. Elijah believes in God. Maybe you will have to pray 7 times, maybe 14, maybe 20. But I'm telling you something tonight, Emmanuel, my dear brothers and sisters. Stir up that gift into flame. Stir up that gift into flame. Remember about your parents, young guys. Remember about your friends. Remember about your family. Remember about your pastors. Remember about the church. People that are praying for you. People that kept praying for you. God will make a miracle. God will sharpen you. The Holy Spirit will sharpen you. But it's God's time. It's not my time. Because let me tell you this. The gift of the Spirit is not a gift of lack of faith. is not a gift of lack of confidence. The gift of the Spirit is not a gift of failure. The gift of the Spirit is not a gift of timidity, but the gift of the Spirit is a gift of power, is a gift of strength, is a gift of healing, is a gift of faith, is a gift of miracles. That's the gift of the Spirit that sharpens me. And then we got to go back to the Word. Go back to the Scriptures. You know why? Because it's not about me. It's not about me. You know, I can just be here and think, well, you know, I hope the people will like what I preach, or, you know, it's not if you like me or if you like what I preach. It's about what impact. What kind of impact does this message have in your life and in my life? As people in the church, I can just be like, well, you know, we're going to have an English sermon or not. I don't know. Maybe my kids are not here. Maybe my grandkids are not here in this church. But guys, in 1 Corinthians 12, Paul talks about the members of the body. We're all members in this body of Christ, in this church of Christ. We need to build each other. We need to strengthen each other. We need to love each other. We need to care for each other. We need to fight for each other. We need to fight for this youth, because the youth is the future of this church. And without the youth, there's no future. Fără tineret nu-i viitor, fraților. Trebuie să ne pese la unii de alții, să ne iubim, să ne ridicăm, să ne rugăm unii pentru alții, să stăm în sperenie, în dragoste. În clădirea spirituală, fizică, în ajutor, într-o dragoste frățească, într-o dragoste curată, într-o dragoste adevărată, într-o dragoste ca lui Iisus, slăvit să fie numele Lui. O dragoste ca lui Iisus. And then I gotta go and look at the scripture, at the word of God. It's not about me, it's about God. You know, it's not about you, it's about the others, because I lay my life down in front of my Lord, in front of Jesus. It's not about you, it's about the others. It's about the people that you interact with every day of your life. It's about the people at school. It's about that boss that maybe he doesn't like you. It's about that person that you dislike. It's about them, it's about others. It's about sacrificing my life. It's about sacrificing myself. You see, Jesus is talking to a woman in Samaria, and you know, the Jews, they wouldn't have any kind of relationship with the Samaritans, and the disciples are coming, and they see Jesus talking, and they said, Master, are you hungry? And Jesus in John 4:34 says, my bread is to do the will of the one who sent me and finish his work. When the Holy Spirit will sharpen your life and sharpen my life, then this is the kind of attitude that I will have and you will have, my dear brother and sister, tonight. And third of all, when the Holy Spirit takes over, it directs us. Verse 20 says, I would like to be present with you, to be present. It directs me to you. It directs me to the problem. Galatians 5:25-26 says, if we live in the Spirit, let us walk in the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. You know, in Matthew 25, there's a parable of talents, and it says that a master had three guys that worked for us, three servants, and he's going to another place, to another land, to another country, and he's giving the first one is giving five talents, the second one gets two, and the last one gets one. Now, after a while, the master comes and he looks at the first one put the money in the bank, and from five he made 10. He doubled his money. Now, the second one does the same thing. But the third one does something different. He takes his talent, he's hiding it, and when the master comes, says, Master, I knew you're a very harsh, tough man. Now I was hiding your talent, now take what's yours. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. You know, I'm pretty sure that this guy was a little jealous. I mean, he sees the first one getting five talents. The second one gets two. I hope I'm going to get more than five, or at least five. But I hope I'm not going to get less than two. And he gets one talent. Really? Really, Master? This is all I'm worthy of? This is all you care? I'm only getting one talent? A lot of times, maybe jealous, envying one another. Why does he? Because he preaches better? Because he sings better? Because he does this or does that better? No, I'm looking at you. You are beautiful. You really are beautiful. You are amazing. God put something special inside of you. God put something special in your heart. There's a spiritual gift. Love one another. Appreciate one another. Care for one another. And use the gift that God put in you. Use it wisely. Use it wisely. The question is, where am I directed? Am I directed to the works of flesh? Or am I bearing the fruits of the Spirit? You know, I was thinking about Samson, right? He's killing a lion. As a man that was dedicated to God, he wasn't supposed to touch a dead body. And he goes back to the lion and he takes honey from the lion. And he eats it and he gives it to his parents too. That's what happens when we're feeding ourselves from the works of flesh. We're feeding ourselves with idolatry, with hate, with envy, with fornication. One of my professors was saying that his daughter, she's studying neurology at Berkeley, and he said that she was in a circle of doctors, and they said that it's been discovered something that science discovered something that it's actually been discovered in the Bible for a long time. They said that the human brain is set up in such a way that the neurons and the cells inside, whatever we seek, we feed ourselves with, that's what we will desire. Now, if you feed yourself with pornographic images, with pornographic content, that's what you will desire. This is what you will seek. This is what you're going to be longing for. But if I'm feeding myself with the Bible, with the Word of God, if I'm feeding myself with prayer, then I'm going to desire God, then I'm going to desire prayer, then I'm going to desire church, then I'm going to desire community, then I'm going to desire relationship, then I'm going to desire having a real and truly true relationship with my Lord. Because whatever you feed yourself with, that's what you will seek. That's what you will desire. That's what you'll be longing for. He's losing his eyes because the Bible says here, if we live in the Spirit, let us walk in the Spirit. But if we don't walk in the Spirit, in order to walk in the Spirit, you need your eyes and your legs. And he's losing his eyes. And if you lose your eyes, you can't see anymore. Someone else has to take you, like in Samson's case, from Timnah to Gaza to the prison. You're losing your eyes. I can't see anymore. Jesus Christ says in John 14:6, I am the way. I'm one way. It's narrow. But when I don't have my eyes anymore, then I don't know. Then anything is okay. De-aia vorba aia românească, nu merge pe trei cărări. Anything is okay. It's okay to go to church. It's okay to go to a club. It's okay to listen to Chris Tomlin. It's okay to listen to Jay-Z. It's okay to pray. It's okay to cuss. Because I don't have my spiritual eyes anymore. I don't have my conscience anymore. Because I lost my eyes and I'm not gonna be able to see, I'm not gonna be able to walk. I'm gonna be a cripple like Mephibosheth, unable to be obedient to his King David and follow him. But the truth is, if I'm directed by the power of the Holy Spirit, that I'm gonna bear the fruits of the Spirit. And my prayer is that we're going to be able tonight and from tonight on to bear those fruits of the Spirit, my brothers and sisters. Those fruits of the Spirit from Galatians 5:22 down. To be able to love like Jesus. To experience peace like Paul. To have a joy like old Simon in the temple. To have long suffering like Job. To have self-control like Joseph. To have goodness like Moses. And to have kindness and gentleness like Zacchaeus. Because the Holy Spirit, when I'm formed in Christ, makes me see right and walk right, directing me on the right path towards the kingdom, towards God. In conclusion, when the Holy Spirit takes over my life and your life, it awakens me. It revives me. It breaks the chain of sin. It makes a difference. It starts something new. It's not just a momentum like in the election, but it's a spiritual new life. It's a long road. It's something that lasts. I can't just look back and see, well, you know, something happened 6 years ago and it's amazing that happened. But I want that to happen again and I want that to last in our church, to last in our life, to last in our families and in the new generation. Not just stories, Nu doar povești, o realitate actuală, o realitate care să dureze, frați și surori.
It awakens me. I read this story about Alexander the Great that he was in a moment where he wanted to conquer a city and there was a great rock in front of him, and his general said, my lord, my king, there's no way we can conquer this city. This rock is too great. There's no way we can break it. And he said, we'll break it. No, we can't break it. It's too big. And he said, you know what? If we can't break it, we will burn it. My lord, says his general, there's no way we can burn it. We will burn it. It took a long time. They burn it. And this king was able to conquer that city. This king that had no God. How can I not feel this revive? How can I not be awakened when I have my Lord? How can I not be a different man that follows God, that understands the power? When I see what's happening in this world, when I see what's happening with the new generations, when I see the risks, when I see the sins, I can't just like stay and say, whatever happens, it happens. No, I gotta be awakened. There has to be something that starts something in my life, that starts something in my soul, that starts something in my church. I can't just stay nepăsător, nu? Trebuie să ard, frați și surori. Să ard pentru tineret, să ard pentru biserică, să ard pentru lucrare, să ard pentru Hristos, pentru că este Duhul cel Sfânt care mă face să ard, care mă trezește la realitate, slăvit să fie numele Lui. It awakens me, it sharpens me, you know, and I really like that verse from Psalm 51, verse 7. Wash me with hyssop. That is soap, nu? Acel isop. Doamne, chiar dacă doare, Doamne, chiar dacă lasă urme, Doamne, chiar dacă e ca și spiritul ăla medicinal, Doamne, mă corectează, mă sfințește, mă adâncește, mă face să fiu mai aproape de Tine, Doamne, mă purifică, Doamne, mă faci un om sfânt, un om curat, un om după voia Ta, Doamne, e Duhul Tău cel Sfânt, Doamne, care trăiește în mine, care mă regenerează, care mă aduce la o nouă dimensiune. And then third of all, not only that it sharpens me, but it directs me. It directs me, and it's a decision. You need to choose a path. In his book, Experiencing the Heart of Jesus, Max Lucado would say the following. The Wizard of Oz will say, look inside yourself and you will find self. But God says, look inside yourself and you will find the Holy Spirit. The first one will take you to Kansas. The later one will take you to heaven. Take your pick. God bless you.